And that you would please meet with us. And Lord, I know that we've had busy weeks and many are tired and have a lot of things that they could be thinking about, a lot of distractions, especially during this season of the year. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us for the next few moments to be able to focus on your word, focus on what we'll be looking at this morning. I pray you'd give us listening ears. I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in each and every one of our hearts, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon me and help me to preach, Lord, the things you would have me to say. Say the things you would have me to say, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're there in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And I'd like to bring your attention to verse number 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." I want you to notice there that Paul is training Timothy, this young preacher. Paul is teaching him, writing him, instructing him. And one of the things he tells him, he says, "I want you to give attendance to reading." He said, "I want you to give attendance to exhortation." He says, "I want you to give attendance to doctrine." Now, exhortation is like preaching, encouraging. Doctrine is teaching the Bible. But he said, "I want you to focus on your preaching." He said, "I want you to focus on your teaching." But he said, "Before that, before you focus on any of that," he said, "I want you to give attendance to reading." Now, obviously, he's talking about reading the Word of God. And that word attendance there, the word attendance has multiple definitions, but you know what I think is interesting is no matter what definition you take, they all seem to work pretty well for the reading of God's Word, because the word attendance means to be present. Okay? Like, you know, they take attendance at school, you know, and they're seeing if you're present or not. So he says, you know, when it comes to reading your Bible, you ought to be present to read your Bible. That's good. You ought to be, it means to direct one's mind or energies to. It means to take charge of, watch over, look after, tend to, or guard. What he's saying is, the word attendance there, really, it's kind of like our modern word, give attention to. He says, "I want you to give attention. I want you to give your energy. I want you to look after this thing." And he said, "I want you to pay attention to the reading of the Word of God." And you know, the average Christian, I want to speak to you, preach to you, teach you on the subject of Bible reading, personal Bible reading, giving attendance to Bible reading. And you know, the average Christian does not read their Bible on a regular basis. If we were to, and I'm not going to do this, so please don't raise your hand, but if we were to take a survey this morning of everyone at Verity Baptist Church, and we were to ask, you know, how many of you read your Bible every day this week? Raise your hand. If we were to take that, and I, you know, I'm not asking you to do that, all right? But if we were to do that, we would find that most Christians do not. Most Christians do not read their Bible on a regular basis. The average Christian has never read the Bible cover to cover. And what I mean by that is, I mean from one cover to the other, from Genesis to Revelation, the average Christian cannot say they've read the Bible cover to cover. And I want to give you this morning 3 points to consider in regards to your personal Bible reading, your personal devotion time, your personal time with God. And I want to give you 3 things to consider. If you're taking notes this morning, I'll give you 3 points that you can write down and some things to look at. Number one, well, keep your finger there in 1 Timothy, all right? We're going to come back to Timothy. Go to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. It's the first of the major prophets. So you find those big books of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah. You got a small book, Lamentations, big book, Ezekiel. Isaiah 34, Isaiah 34. And point number one this morning, I'm going to give you 3 points. We can do it fast and easy. Won't be very long this morning, hopefully. Unless you're not paying attention. No, I'm just kidding. Alright, point number one this morning, I want to talk to you about the subject of the practice of Bible reading. The practice of Bible reading. The word practice means action or process, performing or doing something. A habitual or customary performance and operation. And you know, we need to get ourselves in the practice of reading the Bible. Now, most people don't understand this, and I want you to see it from Scripture. If you're there in Isaiah 34, I want you to look at verse number 16. Isaiah 34 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and His Spirit, it hath guided them. I want you to understand this, because I don't know that most Christians understand this, but the Bible and God actually commands Christians and believers, we are commanded to read the Bible. Look at verse 16 again. Does it say, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read if you feel like it? Does it say, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read if you've got time? He says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. He doesn't even say please, He just says do it. And you got to understand this, God has commanded every believer to read the Bible on a regular basis. Go back, did you keep your finger there in 1 Timothy? Go back to 2 Timothy. You were in 1 Timothy, just flip a page over. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, study. Now, right there, most of you already don't like that verse. You know, that's why you did so poorly in school. You didn't like that word, study. Why don't you like to study? Because it's work. Study, notice what it says, to show thyself approved unto God. We are to show ourselves approved to God. Now notice the word is associated with the word study. A workman. It's work. It's not easy. That needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You gotta understand this. God has commanded every believer to seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. God has commanded, He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. He's not asking you. He's not telling you it'd be a good idea. He's telling you to do it. He says, study. Now, here's what you can understand. Not only has God commanded us to read the Bible, but you need to understand this. God has commanded us to read the Bible every day. Go to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. In your Old Testament there, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Let me give you an example here. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Now you got to understand this. Look down at verse number 18. Now, the passage we're going to look at, alright? Because we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved to God, right? Workmen need not to be ashamed, right? Dividing the word of truth. So let me give you the context. Deuteronomy 17, 18 was written to the future kings of Israel. God knew that they would at some point in their history have kings. And even though God did not want them to have kings, and that's a whole other sermon for another time, He had already given instruction for the time when they would have a king. And you got to understand this. A king is a leader. A king is someone who others follow. And in Deuteronomy 17, 18, the Bible says, and it shall be. Now notice what God tells the kings of Israel to do, the future kings. Deuteronomy 17, 18. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of the law in a book out of that which is before the priest and the Levite. So he said, I want the king to write a copy of the book of the law. He said, I want the king to have a Bible. Alright? Now you gotta understand this. In these days, having the Word of God was not a common thing. It's not like you and I that can go down to the 99-cent store and purchase a King James Bible for a dollar. It's not like you and I that have, you know, having sitting around in the house and collecting up dust. It's not like you and I that, you know, you got one Bible you leave at church and one Bible, so you don't have to worry about bringing it. We're spoiled people. These men did not have the Word of God like you and I have. And notice what the Bible says of the kings to do. Not only is he supposed to have a copy, look, verse 18. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law. He was supposed to write his own copy. He got himself a Bible, and then he wrote down a copy for himself. That's probably a really good way to learn the Bible. Look at verse 19. And it shall be with him. Now notice what it says. And he shall read therein when there's nothing good on TV. Is that what it says? Yes. And he shall read therein when he's done reading the Sack B. Is that what it says? When he's done with Facebook. Is that what it says? When he's done with YouTube. Is that what it says? He shall read therein. Notice what it says. All. Do you see the word all there? You know what the word all means? It means everyone. All the days of his life. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of the law and these statutes to do them. God commanded the king of Israel to read the Bible every day. Now keep your finger there in Deuteronomy, because we're coming back towards Deuteronomy. But go to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation is the last book in the New Testament. Revelation chapter number 1. Because I know some of you, you know, you think you're smart. You're smart. All right, I'll give you that. But some of you are thinking, well, Pastor Jimenez, Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 18 was written to kings. And I am not a king. And I would say to you, really? Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 6. Notice, you know what happened to you when you got saved? The Bible says, and have made us, what's that word say?
King.
Let's say that together. And have made us kings. When you got saved, you got born into the family of God. You were put into the family of God Almighty God. Jesus Christ is the King, the rightful King of Israel, the rightful King of the world. And guess what? When you got put into that family, the Bible says you became a king.
Amen.
Not only a king, but you're a priest. Look what it says. And has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's why people say to me, you know, I can show you in the book of Proverbs, I'm not preaching on this subject, I can show you in the book of Proverbs where God tells, in the book of Proverbs where He says that it is not for a king to drink alcohol. I believe Christians ought not drink alcohol. Why? Because you're a king. Because you're a priest. God, you say, well, that's not fair. God puts higher requirements on me than other people. Because you're a king. You're special. You are a peculiar people. You are a called out assembly. You're not like everyone else. Our lives are to be different. And look, the world can do what they want. But God expects you to read your Bible.
Amen.
God's made you a king and a priest unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. You don't like the example of the king. Okay, let me give an example of a local New Testament church. Because guess what you're in? A local New Testament church. Acts chapter 17, look at verse 11. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. You like to say, well, the book of Deuteronomy is not written for me. Because it's in the Old Testament. It's in the Pentateuch. Okay, the book of Acts is in the New Testament. Alright, so I think this applies to us. Acts 17, look at verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. He's comparing one church with another church. He said the people in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. But notice what they did. They received the word with all readiness of mind. They went to church and got preached to. They went to church and got the Bible. They went to church and got fed. Notice what it says. Receive the word with all readiness of mind. But here's what they also did. And search the scriptures daily. You see that? Whether those things were so. The Bible says that this church searched the scriptures daily. They got in their Bible every day. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Wednesday night. Every day they opened the Bible and they searched the scriptures daily. Now notice, whether these things were so. You got to understand this, and we're going to get to it later in the sermon. But you got to understand this. The Christian life is a life of you taking responsibility for yourself. Some of you come to church, and I praise the Lord for it, and I'm thankful for it. But you know, some of you come to Verity Baptist Church, and anything Pastor Jimenez says, you're just going to think, okay, well that's what we believe, because that's what the pastor says. That is a wrong attitude. That is a bad... Now listen to me. I'm going to do my best to prove everything I preach straight out of the Bible. I'm going to do my best to not lead you astray. But let me tell you something. Pastor Jimenez is a human being like you. Pastor Jimenez can make mistakes. Pastor Jimenez can take a verse out of context. It is your job to... Now notice, you are not to listen to the preaching with a critical spirit. Look at verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were ready for the word.
Amen, amen.
They were ready to receive it. By the way, I wonder how many of us come to church every day ready to receive the word.
Amen.
You're prayed up. You're read up. Your spirit is ready to receive the word. Or do we just come, you know, just frantically yelling at the kids in the car, yelling at your husband. Your husband's yelling at you. And then you show up and... Morning, how are you? God bless you. We've got to prepare our spirits to receive the Bible.
Amen.
They received the all readiness of mind, but here's the thing, they didn't just take it, they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. The way way that you begin, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the way that you begin to grow is not that Pastor Jimenez teaches the Bible, Pastor Jimenez teaches the Bible, then you find it in Scripture for yourself, and then it becomes your belief.
Amen.
But these people, I want you to understand, this is what I want you to say, the practice of Bible reading. God has commanded us to read the Bible, and God has commanded us to read the Bible every day. The king wants to read the Bible every day. This church in Berea searched the Scriptures daily. Every day they were in their Bible. Every day they were reading the Word of God. Every day they were learning from the Word of God. And this is what God has commanded. And I don't, please don't raise your hand. Please don't you know, tell us. But let me ask you a question. Just answer this to yourself. How is your Bible reading time with God? How is it developed? Because I tell you this, most Christians do not read their Bible on a daily basis. If you're taking notes, we said number one this morning, the practice of Bible reading. Number two, I'd like to explain to you the purpose of Bible reading. We said number one, God expects you to read the Bible. We said number one, God expects you to read the Bible every day. But what is the purpose? You say, well, why does God want me to read the Bible? Why does God want me to understand Scripture? Why does God want me to read the Bible every day? Go back to Deuteronomy. Did you keep your finger there? Deuteronomy? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter number 31. And I want you to understand this. The primary reason that God would have you read the Bible is to learn. Now here's what you got to understand, okay? Most Christians don't read the Bible. But the ones who do read the Bible for the wrong reason. You talk to the average person that reads the Bible, here's what they'll say. I read the Bible so that God can speak to me. Now hold on a second. The whole Bible is God's Word. The entire Bible, the Bible says holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The fact that we say we've got an inspired Word of God means that God spoke every word here. So look, let me just clue you in on something. Every time you open the Bible and you begin to read it, God's speaking to you.
That's right.
You say, well, I read it till God speaks to me. The moment you start reading, He speaks to you. Now look, I'm not against from time to time you go to Proverbs, you go to Psalms, and you try to find something that encourages you. I'm not against that. But that is not the primary purpose that God has given us the command to read the Bible. Because if you read the Bible to get a warm feeling, if you read the Bible so you can feel nice, so you can feel encouraged, let me tell you something. You're going to read Psalms, you're going to read Proverbs, you're going to get to Leviticus, and you're not going to get a warm feeling. You ever tried reading Leviticus? You get to Jeremiah and you're going to be like, what was that? So what's the purpose of reading the Bible? Are you there in Deuteronomy? Look at verse chapter 17, look at verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18. And it shall be, I'm sorry, yeah, this is a verse we looked at already, but I want you to see something else in it. Deuteronomy 17, good night, I'm all confused. Deuteronomy 31, is that where I first said? I'm testing you. Make sure you're paying attention. Deuteronomy 31, I got too many, we're going to go to 17 in a minute, actually, but Deuteronomy 31, look at verse 11. Deuteronomy 31, 11. I've only been preaching for 18 minutes, I'm already on point number 2, I got to slow this thing down. You're getting spoiled, you know. Deuteronomy 31, look at verse 11. When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children. That's a family integrated church, by the way.
Amen.
And thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear. That they may, let's say that next word together, learn. That they may learn and fear the Lord your God to observe to do all the words of this law. Go back to Deuteronomy 17, look at verse 19. Deuteronomy 17, look at verse 19. This time I actually want you to go there, right? Deuteronomy 17, look at verse 19. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 19. Remember the king was supposed to read every day? Deuteronomy 17, 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Why is he supposed to read therein all the days of his life? That he may, what's that say? Learn. Do you see that? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Alright, keep your finger in Deuteronomy. We're coming back to Deuteronomy, okay? But go to the New Testament book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, towards the end of the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And by the way, you got to understand this. The Word of God is the most valuable thing that we have.
Amen.
That's why at Verity Baptist Church, we you know, sometimes people come to our church and they're like, "Do you guys preach the Bible?" And I'm like, "I don't know, you tell us." Sit through one of those services. We look at a lot of scripture around here. Why? Because look, I don't have anything of value to teach you. I don't, the world has nothing of value to teach you. I have nothing of value to teach you. The only thing worth studying is the Word of God.
Amen.
So we'll study the Word of God. Deuteronomy, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look what the Bible says. But grow in grace. Here's a command. But grow in grace. He said, I want you to grow in grace. That's a good thing. And in, so he's saying, I also want you to grow in this. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now listen to me. You read your Bible, and you get some warm feeling, and you feel all encouraged, and you feel close to God. Hey, praise the Lord for that. But that is not the primary reason to read the Bible. The primary reason to read the Bible is to learn. Is to increase in knowledge. Is to learn the Bible. And by the way, God not only commands you to read the Bible, God expects you to read the Bible. Go to Matthew chapter 12. First book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 12. I want you to see this. I'm not going to go through and give you all the context, because it'll take way too long. If you want to write these verses down and look up the context yourself, you're more than welcome to. But go to Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. Look at verse number 3. Matthew chapter 12, verse 3. Notice what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 12, verse 3. And I want you to see this, okay? And I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to take time to give you the context. But I want you to notice this. I love going through this in Scripture because I think it makes such a valid point. Jesus Christ, throughout His ministry, just constantly was just correcting people or bringing attention to the fact that they did not know the Bible. Jesus, and they would ask Him questions, alright? And this is how He would respond often. Matthew 12, look at verse 3. But He said unto them, notice, if you read the context, they just asked Him a question, okay? Now He said unto them, look what Jesus says, have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger and that they were with him? So they ask Him a question, and Jesus responds to them, is like, why are you asking me this question? Haven't you read? Look at verse 4. How He entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful to them to eat, neither for them which were with Him, but only for the priests. Verse 5. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests of the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? So notice, two times He's like, you know, they're asking Him questions, they're trying to tempt Him, they're trying to catch Him up. And His response is, haven't you read the Bible? Have ye not read? Have ye not read? Go to Matthew 19. Look at verse 4. Matthew 19, verse 4. You're there in Matthew 12? Matthew chapter 19, verse 4. Matthew 19, verse 4. And He answered and said unto them, have ye not read? You see that? Matthew 19, verse 4. And He answered unto them, have ye not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? That's a good verse right there. You know why our world is so messed up? And you know why Christianity is so messed up? Because they have not read. You talk to the average Christian, they don't have a clue what the Bible says. They think they know what the Bible says, they have no idea. That's why the average church member, you know, you talk to the average Christian and they're like, you ask him, you know, what do you think, you know, about sodomy? Which is what, you know, God is talking here about marriage, but, you know, this verse applies. And the average Christian is like, oh, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal, I think God's okay with it. And, you know, my response to them is, have you not read? And He which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, God made them separate. Look at verse 16. Matthew 21, look at verse 16. You say, that offends me. You know why you're offended? Because you haven't read the Bible. Matthew 21, verse 16. And He said unto them, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, yea. Notice what He says. Have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and suckling? Thou hast perfected praise. Go to Matthew 21, verse 42. Matthew 21, verse 42. Jesus says unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in His eyes. Go to Matthew 22, look at verse 31. Matthew 22, verse 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, Matthew 22, verse 31. Matthew 22, verse 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, notice what He says. Have which was spoken unto you by God, saying. Go to Mark chapter number 2. Matthew, Mark chapter number 2. Look at verse 25. Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 25. Mark 2:25. The Bible says, and he said unto them. I'll give you a second to get there. Mark chapter 2, verse number 25. Mark chapter 2, verse 25. And he said unto them. What do you think he's going to say to them? Notice what he says. Have ye never read? Do you realize how often God, Jesus is just saying, you know, they're tempting him, they're asking him this, they're asking that, and he's just saying, why don't you read this? Why don't you understand this? Haven't you read this? Don't you comprehend this? Go to Mark chapter 12, look at verse 10. Mark chapter 12, verse 10. Mark chapter 12, verse 10. And, what does he say? Have ye not read this scripture? Mark chapter 12, verse 10. Have ye not read the scripture? Go to Mark chapter 12, look at verse 26. Mark 12, 26. And of such in the dead that they rise, notice what he says, have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Go to Luke, Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 3. Luke chapter 6, verse 3. Luke 6, 3, the Bible says, Luke chapter number 6 and verse 3, and Jesus answering them said, this is Jesus' favorite response, have ye not read? So much as this, what David did when himself was 100 and they were with him. I'm trying to make a point to you that not only does God command you to read, but God expects you to read. And so many of the problems that we struggle with and so many of the issues that we have, the answer is already in the Bible. And we cry out to God. We say, God, why this is going on? And I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know what to do. And you say, God isn't answering me. And God is looking down and saying, have you not read? The answer is already in the Bible. It's already in the book. If you would study it, if you would read it, you would learn it and you could grow. He says, have you not read? Now you understand this. The primary reason for reading the Bible is to learn. And by the way, if the primary reason for reading the Bible... See, if you read the Bible to get a little emotional high, then guess what? When you're feeling down, you won't read it. When you're feeling sad, you won't read it. Right. But if the purpose of reading the Bible is to learn, guess what? You'll read it every day. Because you're going to learn something every day. And you know what happens? You read the Bible to learn it, and God speaks to you, and God helps you, and God encourages you, but the primary purpose is to learn. What are the purposes of Bible reading? We said, number one, to learn. But it's not just to learn for the sake of learning. Go back to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy talks a lot about Bible reading. Deuteronomy 31. See, the purpose is not only to learn. It's not only to have knowledge, although you should have knowledge. Although we are to grow in grace, knowledge of our Lord and Savior. But you got to understand this, knowledge puffeth up. Having a lot of knowledge can make you proud. So you say, well, why do we learn? Are you there in Deuteronomy 31? Look at verse 12 again. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe. Now notice this phrase. To do. Do you see that? To do all the words of this law. You say, why do I learn the Bible? Here's why you learn the Bible. So you can then go out and do what the Bible says. Amen. Go to Deuteronomy 17. Look at verse 19. Remember the king? Deuteronomy 17, verse 19. And it shall be. Deuteronomy 17, verse 19. If you listen to, you talk to a theologian, they're going to tell you know the theological term for learning the Bible is observation. You observe Scripture, you learn it and you grasp it. But here's the thing: many people observe Scripture, but not many people apply Scripture. You learn the Bible, but then you apply it to your life. Deuteronomy 17:19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep the words of this law and these statutes. Why? Look what it says. To do them.
Amen.
You say, I come to Verity Baptist Church, and I've been coming here for a year, or 2 years, or 3 years, or 3 months, or 6 months, or 12 months, whatever. I've been coming here for a long time, and I've been learning a lot of Scripture, but here's the question I have for you. What have you been doing with it? You're learning and learning and learning. saying, but you're not applying, you're not applying, you're not applying. And I'm going to tell you, you can have all the answers in the world. Hey, Solomon in Scripture was one of the wisest men that walked on this earth. He could tell you everything about everything, but he did a very poor job at applying it in his life.
Amen.
You want to see how his life turned out? Read the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. He knew a whole lot of Bible, but he didn't apply it to his life. The purpose of Bible reading is, number one, to learn. So then you can apply it to your life. It's not enough for you to come to Verity Baptist. It's not enough for you to read the Bible every day. And you're like, wow, I'm learning a lot of things. I'm learning a lot of things. Do something with it. Apply it in your life. We said, number one, we have the practice of Bible reading. You ought to read your Bible. You're commanded to read your Bible. And you're commanded to read your Bible every day. We said, number two, we've got the purpose of Bible reading. The purpose of Bible reading is to learn. And once you learn, it is to apply it in your life. Number three, let me show you the product of Bible reading. The product of Bible reading. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're almost done. This is the last point. Last point. I didn't say it's the last scripture, but it's the last point. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Towards the end of your New Testament there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 2. What happens when a Christian begins to read their Bible on a daily, regular basis? What happens to that Christian? Well, here's what you got to understand, okay? A new Christian, a baby Christian, grows spiritually in the same way that a physical child grows. Alright? 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why does a babe desire the sincere milk of the Word? That ye may grow thereby. Alright? So you have a little baby, and mama nurses the baby and gives that baby good, nutritious milk, and that baby starts getting chubby. You know what I mean? That's good. That little baby fat, it's starting to grow. It's starting to nurture. It's starting to get strength. Okay? And by the way, a new Christian, God equates that to a baby. Spiritually, when you get saved, remember, you were born again. You were born into the family of God. You are a baby. And you know what we're supposed to do with babies? Take them and feed them. Give them milk. Help them to grow. Some of you started coming to Verity Baptist Church. Maybe you got saved here. Maybe you were saved, but you hadn't really been growing. And you started coming here. And we started giving you the milk of the Word. We started feeding you the Word. We started giving it to you. And you began to grow. And you began to grow spiritually. Now, here's what you got to understand, okay? The Bible often equates itself to food. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. Should be fairly easy to find. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. And the Bible says there, but he answered and said, now notice what he says. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So you're not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Okay? And God often equates His Word to bread. We saw it there in 1 Peter 2:2. Equated it to milk. Equates it to meat. Often the Bible is equated to food. Okay? Go to 1 Timothy. Chapter number 4. Remember, we were in this verse. Let me see if I can find it. I just noticed it when we were reading it. It wasn't really in my notes, but let me see if I can find it real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 6. Remember, that's where we started this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Look what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Now notice what it says here. Nourish. You see that word nourish? That's talking about nutrition. That's talking about having good food. Nourished up. How does a Christian get nourished spiritually? Nourished up in the words of faith. You see that? nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou art attained. Here's what you need to understand, okay? The Bible is spiritual food for your spiritual man.
Amen.
When you got saved, you were quickened, a new creature. You became a new spiritual person. Inside of you, there's two people. There's the old man, the flesh, and there's the new man, the spirit. The new man is the one that likes the Bible. The new man is the one that likes the Word of God. The new man is the one that likes preaching, that likes God, that wants to do spiritual things. If you're saved, inside of you, there's a little tiny desire that wants to do right, that wants to learn the Bible, that wants to get preached at. And that is the new man inside of you, the spiritual man. But guess what? There's also the old man. That's the guy that doesn't want to read the Bible. That's the guy that wants to click on Facebook instead of reading the Bible. That's the guy that doesn't want to come to church. That's the guy, that's the flesh. And these two men are constantly in battle with each other. And the way that we, now here's what you understand, okay? The flesh has an advantage. You know why? Your flesh has been growing since the day you were born. You've been feeding your flesh, your physical flesh, physically, you know, food. But you've been feeding appetites. You've been watching things and developing appetites and desires and lusts. You've been watching things on TV. You've been listening to things on the radio. You've been doing things and allowing yourself. And you've been feeding that old man, feeding that flesh. And that man, man, he's gotten pretty strong. And then you got saved. And now you got the spiritual man. But guess what? The spiritual man is just a little baby. And this old man is beating up on this little baby. Now you gotta understand this, okay? Spiritual maturity does not come with age.
Right.
Say, Pastor Jimenez, I've been saved for 10 years. I've been saved for 20 years. I've been saved for 50 years. That means nothing. The way you grow your spiritual man is by feeding him spiritually. And you feed him the Word of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. You say, what is the result of a Christian that reads their Bible every day? Here's the result. A mature Christian. A strong Christian. Let's just make it very clear, okay? Let's make it very plain. The average Christian is a baby spiritually. That's the truth. The average Christian doesn't know the Bible. The average Christian has very little character. And by the way, that's why the average Christian, when every day, when your spiritual man goes to fight with your flesh wins. That's why your spiritual man says, I'm going to set the alarm clock a little early so I can get up and read the Bible and pray. And then that alarm clock goes off and your flesh says, no, stay in bed. And your flesh wins. That's why your flesh says, don't go to church today. And your flesh wins. Because you've been feeding your flesh, but your spiritual man is very weak. You say, how do I make the spiritual man better? You feed him. Are you there in Hebrews 5? Look at verse 13. Hebrews 5, verse 13. Hebrews 5, verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. Okay? So how do you know if you're still on milk? You know, you may have this question. Okay, am I a Christian that's on milk? Or am I a Christian that's a little more mature? Okay, here's how you know. If you are unskillful in the word, then you're on milk. Notice what it says. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. You see that? So if you're unskillful in the word, if you're not skilled in the word, if you don't know a lot of the Bible, and look, none of us know everything about the Bible. But I mean, you don't know anything. You can't find the, and I'm not mocking you if you're there. We all start off there. But if you know, you just say, I don't really know the Bible that well. Well, you're a baby. That's okay. Spiritually, you're a baby. We're going to try to feed you. But look at verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. You see that? Okay? A full age Christian now can take some strong meat, even those who by reason of use, now notice, by reason of use, because they use the Bible, they now can take some strong meat, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let me explain to you how you say, I'm still confused. How do I know if I'm a baby? How do I know if I'm spiritual? Okay? Look at a physical child. I have a daughter. She's 1 year old. 1 or a few months. Okay? When she was 2 months old, 3 months old, guess what? She was a little baby and she needed to be fed. And if mama did not feed baby, then baby was in trouble because baby could not feed itself. You understand that? Mom had to feed baby. Some of you start off spiritually, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You come to church, and the only Bible you get is here. And that's okay. We're going to take our spiritual baby, and we're going to nurse you. We're going to feed you. We're going to give you milk. But you know how we know when baby starts not being so much of a baby? When we're sitting at the dinner table, and we just came home with some El Pollo Loco. And I like El Pollo Loco. You know what I mean? Grilled chicken. And little baby reaches over and grabs one of my drumsticks and starts putting it in her mouth. Guess what? She's growing, because now, you know what she's starting to do? She's starting to feed herself. You understand that? See, you say, how do I become a mature Christian? Start feeding yourself. Start reading the Bible. See, some of you, the only Bible you get is on church on Sunday morning. Try that physically. See, we eat every day. We eat multiple times a day. Some of us feed way more than we need to eat every day. You say, Pastor, I'm too busy. I was so busy this week. I didn't get a chance to read the Bible. Have you ever been so busy? Has these words ever came out of your mouth? Man, I was so busy this week. Man, I didn't eat for 4 days. I was just so busy. Yeah, right. First thing you do, roll out of bed, is, go to Krispy Kreme Donut. I mean, and you say, well, I'm busy. I can't read the Bible. Let me tell you something. We make time for the things that we think are important.
Amen.
And you start getting hungry, it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of work, it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of most of work, man, you are hungry, I haven't ate all day, I'm going to make time to eat. But yet you think that you can go weeks and weeks and weeks. See, you come to Verity Baptist Church, we feed you a whole lot of Bible around here. I don't know if you noticed that. But we give you the Word of God in heavy doses. I'm trying to mature you as quickly as possible. I'm trying to fan you up. Alright? But you got to understand this, okay? Coming to Verity Baptist Church is like going to a nice restaurant. You come here, man, we serve up a meal for you. But you're going to starve spiritually if you don't start feeding yourself. You can't go all week long without the Word and then think that we're going to give you 45 minutes, an hour of preaching, and that's going to do you for a week. You got to grow up. You got to start maturing. You got to start growing. You got to start being that spiritual baby and saying, well, Elizabeth, she takes that drink. She don't really know what she's doing at first. You know what I mean? She's trying to get that thing in her mouth, it ends up in her eye. Okay? You say, Pastor, I don't really know what I'm doing. Hey, just get up tomorrow and read the Bible. Well, I don't really know where to start. I don't really know what it means. I don't really understand. Hey, that's okay. You're starting to grow. You're starting to learn. Eventually, she figures out it goes in the mouth. Man, she's dipping it in the green avocado salsa. She's got a fry. I mean, she's trying to get my drink. You know what I mean? You get good at it. You just start doing it. Here's a question. Are you a baby? Do you want to stay a baby? Say, well, how do I mature? Start feeding yourself. Get in the Word. Get in the Bible. Start learning it. Study the Bible. Read the Bible. Read it yourself. Look, you say, Pastor Emmanuel, I've never read the Bible. If you've never read the Bible, I would not advise you to start with the book of Ezekiel. Okay? I would not advise you start with the book of Numbers. Start with John. That'll be good. Start with Matthew. Okay, start with the gospel. But read the Bible, you need it. And here's what it produces. Mature Christians. You know what the goal of Verity Baptist Church is? From time to time, I need to make this very clear. The purpose of Verity Baptist Church is not to attract numbers. Say, Pastor, do you want Verity Baptist Church to grow? I want Verity Baptist Church to grow. And I'm all for it growing physically. And if we need a bigger building, we'll get a bigger building. That's fine. But that's not our goal. If that was the goal, I wouldn't be preaching for 45 minutes to an hour. If that was the goal, I'd be preaching 10 minutes. And we have a rock concert going. That's what the big churches do. Why? Because they attract a whole lot of babies. See, this church isn't for babies. We want mature Christians that are growing in grace, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We're trying to feed you. We're trying to help you grow. We're trying to get you so that you can be mature. Because look, let's face it right now. Let's just face it. The average Christian is a baby. That's why the average Christian quits on God, quits on church. A trial. Look, is the average Christian Job? Is the average Christian Elijah? Elisha? Is the average Christian Moses? No. The average Christian is a baby.
So a trial comes, a tribulation comes, they can't handle it.
Look, you say, well, if we got some contemporary music, we could attract more people. Contemporary music's not going to help you when you're in the midst of a storm, but the Word of God will.
Amen. You need the Bible.
Amen.
You need the Word.
And you need to study it on your own. Now let me make something very clear, okay? Go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah, we're almost done. That was the third point. Now there's a conclusion. I didn't know there was a conclusion. You need to learn how to outline. You have an introduction, you got points, you got a conclusion, all right? Nehemiah, let me just show you something real quickly. Nehemiah. And by the way, most new Christians don't like this type of preaching.
Why are you preaching so long?
Well, we're trying to make up for all the non-Bible reading you did this week. Nehemiah chapter number 8. Let me just explain something to you real quickly, okay? Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter number 8. We're going to look at Nehemiah. We're going to look at 1 Peter. We're going to look at Ephesians. We're going to look at Revelation, okay? And we'll be done. Four places. Nehemiah chapter 8. Now let me explain something to you. Why you need church. I don't want you to leave here this morning and think, okay, so all I have to do is read the Bible on my own and I'm fine. You're not. Nehemiah chapter 8, look at verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Now what's going to happen here, they're going to have a church service, alright? And this is where we get our pattern for a lot of the things we do in church. Now these people were hungry. They go to the preacher, they say, hey, can you just start reading us the Bible? Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
That's pretty amazing. I don't think that would happen today. Look at verse 2. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning till midnight, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people that were attentive unto the book of the law. Verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. Hey, that's what we got. And they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mathaliah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, and of his right hand, and on his left hand, Pediah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashum, and Hashbana, and Zechariah, and Meshulam. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. You see, we're getting this from Scripture, that's why we do it the way we do it. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground, and Jeshua, and Bani, and Sherebiah, and Jamin, and Akub, and Shabbatai, and Hadijah, and Messiah, and Kelita, and Azariah, and Jozabad, and Hanan, and Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their places. Verse 8, okay, so they're having a church service. They got a pulpit, they got a platform, they got the Word of God, they got the congregation, knows what they do. Verse 8, and they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, notice what they did, and gave the sense. They made it make sense and caused them to understand the reading. Some of you come to church on a Wednesday night and you'll say, man, pastor, I didn't see that. You know, you'll come to church on a Sunday night, we'll be going to church, and you're like, man, I read that passage before, I didn't see that there. Because the purpose of church is to bring you to church to give you the sense, to help you to understand. See, here's what you understand. If all you do is get the Bible at church and never read on your own, you're not going to grow because you're not getting enough Bible to nourish your spiritual man. But here's the thing. If all you do is read the Bible and never come to church, you're not going to grow. You know why? Because you don't know everything in the Bible. And as long as you're stuck in your own head, you never expand. From time to time, you need someone to explain. You need someone to give you the sense. You need someone to teach you. By the way, we all need that. Pastor Jimenez listens to preaching because I need someone to help expand my horizon. We all need, you need both. You need someone to teach you, but you need to be reading on your own. Right? Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're almost done. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 10. The blessing of Bible reading. Bible reading is a blessing. I don't know if you understand that. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 10. I want you to see this. 1 Peter 1:10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. You know that the salvation that you and I have, the prophets, they did not understand it the way we understand. They were still saved by faith. They didn't understand it. They didn't grasp it the way we do. Those prophets, I mean, those great men, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, Elisha, those great men inquired. Look what it says. The prophets inquired and searched diligently. They were reading the limited, because look, they didn't have the Bible like you and I have. They didn't have Genesis to Revelation. And by the way, they didn't have it all together in that canon. Some people only had the book of Isaiah, or maybe only had the Pentateuch, and they had the little scripture they had. They would read it, and they would study it, and they inquired and searched diligently to try to figure out the things that you and I get at the 99 cent store. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 3. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto them the mystery, as I wrote afore in words. Paul is talking about the fact that God used them to bring the special revelation of the Word of God. He wrote it down for them. Verse 4. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now look at verse 5, okay? He's talking about reading the Word, the revelation. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Do you understand that there were hundreds and thousands of years where people did not have a Bible like you and I have? We live in a country where we not only have access to the Word of God, we have the freedom to read it. There have been times in the history of the world where people were being put to death for owning a Bible, for reading the Bible. And those people chose to die because they were so hungry for the Word of God. And you and I have it sitting in our shelf. We leave it in the car. Pick it up on Sunday. We are blessed people to have the Word of God.
Amen.
We have more Bible than Isaiah, than Jeremiah, than Ezekiel. We can understand. Look, we can study it. We can put things together. We get the clear picture because we have the entire Word of God. And my question for you is, what are you doing with it? Man, the prophets, if they had what you and I have, they would have starved physically. They would have been so busy just reading. Go to Revelation chapter 3, chapter 1. We're done right here. Revelation chapter 1. This is the last verse. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. This is the last verse. Blessed is he that readeth. And this is talking about the book of Revelation, but I believe it applies to the whole Bible. And they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The Bible says, blessed is he that readeth. Pastor Jimenez, you want Verity Baptist Church to grow? You know what I want more than for this church to grow physically? And don't misunderstand me. I want more people to come to this church. I want us to reach more people. I want us to love more people. I want us to help more people. I want us to minister to more people. But you know what I want more than just adding people? Adding people is exciting, but you know what? Adding people is a lot of work. When people come, you know what they bring with them? Problems. Should have been at that ladies' activity on Friday. No, I'm just kidding. So what do you want? I want physical growth, but you know what I want more than physical growth? Spiritual growth.
Amen.
I want you to grow spiritually. I want you to be mature. I want you to know your Bible. I want you to begin to grow. Because you know what? I believe if our church is spiritually healthy, it'll grow. Anything that's healthy will grow. A child, if you feed them the right things, they'll grow. A tree, you make sure it's healthy, it'll grow.
Amen.
I'm not as worried about the growth of the church as I'm worried about the health of the church. Because if we're healthy, we'll grow. But I want to make sure you're healthy. I want to make sure you're learning. I want to make sure you're applying. I want to make sure you're understanding. You say, Pastor Jimenez, I've never read the Bible. Why are you preaching this sermon? Well, let me ask you this. How is your Bible reading? Don't answer, just in your heart. Could you honestly say, you know, my Bible reading? Maybe your Bible reading has been good at times, but now it's lapsed. Maybe you said, I've never even attempted to read the Bible. So why are you preaching this sermon? I'm preaching this sermon because, to be quite honest with you, every week, every Sunday, the 3 Sundays before the year's over, I always preach a sermon on Bible reading. Say, why? Because in January, we give you the greatest opportunity to get into a practice of reading the Bible. January at Verity Baptist Church is what we call Bible Month. We start the year off trying to read the Bible as a church. You say, what do you do in January? January, we do this thing called 9 chapters a day in the month of January. And what we do is we encourage everyone to, starting January 1st, to begin to read 9 chapters a day in the month of January. And if you read 9 chapters every day in the month of January, you will read the entire New Testament in the month of January. Now, you may look at that and think, 9 chapters a day, that's insane. It's not as hard as you think. And people often are like, I don't know, I don't think I can do it, I'm scared. Man, if you start reading it, you're going to love it. January is probably the most exciting month around here because everybody's in the Bible. And I want to challenge you to read 9 chapters a day in the month of January. And anybody who does it, we go off the honor system. But anybody who does it, you know, we have a sign-up sheet. You sign your name, you say, I did it. I read 9 chapters a day in the month of January. We put your name on a plaque. We've got them back there. You can look at the different years that people have read. We put a plaque, we put your name on it. Not to bring honor to you, but just to encourage you and say, hey, look, that's what you did. You read. And by the way, you read the entire New Testament in the month of January. Guess what? You can read about 3 chapters a day in the Old Testament. You'll read the entire Bible cover to cover in 1 year. You can do something that the average Christian has never done. And I promise you, you get in a habit of reading the Bible every day, you'll begin to grow, you'll begin to learn, you'll begin to understand. Here's my challenge for you this morning. I want some of you to honestly consider. Those of you that did it last year, just do it again. Don't say, oh, I don't know this year, just do it. Just decide, I'm going to read 9 chapters a day in the month of January. Maybe you weren't here last year, maybe you didn't do it last year, maybe it's the first time you ever heard it, I want to challenge you. Will you read with us 9 chapters? Will you start off your year in the Bible reading 9 chapters a day in the month of January? I promise you, it'll revolutionize your life. I want to encourage you. I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. We got a few weeks going into January. Get yourself ready. You say, well, I don't know if I can do 9 chapters a day. Start reading a little bit right now. Start exercising right now. Start getting ready right now. And read the New Testament. And I promise you'll begin to grow. You'll be healthy. And you'll be blessed. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. Lord, I pray you bless the time we have together, and I pray that everyone this morning would be challenged, Lord, and to realize the importance of Bible reading. We need to read the Bible. If we're not reading the Bible, we are going to starve spiritually. And Lord, I pray that you would please help us. Lord, I pray that there'd be people, maybe they're a little scared, anxious, they don't know, I don't know if I can do it. Just help them to step out by faith and say, you know what, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it. We're going to be encouraging them along the way. We're going to be encouraging each other. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to have the most people we've ever had at Verity Baptist Church this year read 9 chapters a day in the month of January. Father, I pray you'd help us to be growing spiritually, learning spiritually, understanding spiritually. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. In your precious name I pray. Amen.